back to the pod.
Thanks, Steph. It feel like it's been a moment, you know?
It's been a hot minute, and we were just giggling as I hit record, and it always feels like my favorite time to press record is when we get to begin with a giggle. So maybe that is the best way to start this conversation. What's making you giggle these days?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I almost giggled right now. I think just lightness and humor and sunshine.
Yes. Sunshine. Sunshine is coming, though the day that we are recording this, I hear it's the last day of sunshine for about 5 days, and then we have 5 days of rain coming. And I've just planted a garden, and I've never been more excited for the rain. So I'm going to glorify, you know, the song is thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. Here to giggle for all of it. I need to giggle that Mercury is still in retrograde while we're recording this. And the reason I mention that is because every podcast that has come out in the month of April was recorded with some sort of snafu, and it came to be. And here you and I are, and we are the final podcast of April and the final podcast of April with Mercury retrograde behind us. So I'm going to laugh my way through Mercury coming out of retrograde. That's for sure.
I would like to know, and I would like, maybe there's like a one sentencer that you can share around what that even means for you.
Oh gosh. Well, I would like to think that at different times it means different things. The pieces, when Mercury is in retrograde, it feels like the things that need to be broken, let go of, unraveled, happen. And sometimes in the world of technology, that means that hitting record for a podcast doesn't always work in one fell swoop. Something breaks, somebody freezes, and for some reason, the internet goes down. And I'm like, come on, Mercury. So, you know, I've received some great upgrades this year. And the upgrade is when it goes down, you just wait for Mercury to realign and we re-record and we keep rolling. And it's great. That's all I got there. Yeah. Well, what I really wanted to dive into is it was a bit of a reflection on Q1. And now we're actually like a third of the way through the year, not just a quarter. And I want to riff on what is spring, a new season. And I want to riff on what do goals feel like at this point in time, 4 months into 2024. And just checking back in, you know, habits, goals, seasons. So take that anywhere you'd like. What's top of your heart?
I like that. Take that anywhere. Spring feels a little different with just feeling surprised by how it happened, right? Like, when is it time to plant things? Just felt like, did it get cold enough? Like, what was different? I'm like trying to remember when spring hit. And I was like, what is different? Something feels very different here. What do we do? So that just felt different of like, what's here now for us? What do we plant? How do we operate when things don't feel, in quotation, normal? So that's what I would say of the beginning of spring. Now I'm like, you know, I was injured for the last 3 weeks and I would look outside and see people so happy, just like being in the sunshine. And I felt very happy and excited for when I could get back out and start running on the streets. And that day has come. So I was out, you know, today for a morning walk and just enjoying the sun and feeling grounded. So I think my intention is to stay grounded and connected, whatever that looks like, to the earth, to myself, to friends. Yeah, it feels a bit like coming out of hibernation and wanting to reach out to people and seeing how they're doing.
That feels so beautiful. I want to dive in there a little bit more because I think it's very easy in a time of hibernation to like let it go, or it's been too long, or, you know, what has happened. Okay, so I want to riff on that piece, Seth. You mentioned hibernation and you mentioned it sounds very intentional. It sounds very on purpose. And before we dive too far ahead to this next season, when you look back on the winter and the beginning of spring, what has felt really on purpose for you? And I would love to also hear about school, how that has fit in.
Yeah. On purpose feels choices. Just like what are the choices that we want to do? What is the work that we want to do? You know, you and I decided to go do a day trip, or I flew to Edmonton and did a day trip to work with a team intentionally. That was just such a yes, because of the work that they do in the world. We've said yes to clients. Like, it's just like our work this, you know, it feels like the work that we do has a big ripple effect on other people. And that feels like so intentional and a yes. So I'll say that. And then school has been a big focus that I've stayed on topic with around, I'm almost done. I have 2 weeks left. And then I have a year to write a thesis. And last June, you know, when we were like, oh, I could wait a year to start school. And we were like, no, let's get it in now. And so I've been in school since June. I am finishing May 2025 after a year of writing a thesis, and I never thought I would write a thesis. I just didn't have the confidence in myself. And when I heard about the thesis or a project, I was like, I'm going to write a thesis. And I applied, and it's like, giddy up, let's go, thesis time. So I don't know. I just, everything feels a bit different, new. I've never done this.
Gosh, that is such a seed to plant in the name of it's on purpose, it's choice. I hear ripples, and then I hear like, and some things I've never done before, some things I'm doing for the very first time. And I've said yes to that on purpose. And that feels really cool. Oh, I love it. I am reading a book that I'm devouring and I'm really obsessed with right now called Same as Ever. And there is one line in the book, and it says, be careful what you wish for. And on my desk, I have a little picture of my grandma and I. We called her Nana. And Nana used to always say, be careful what you pray for. And my lesson of goals in 2024 is be careful what goals you set. Because when you are intentional, those goals will happen. And are you ready for them? And so one of my goals was to plant a garden in my front lawn. And another one of my goals was to be a really awesome daughter and a great friend. And I thought that was a bit of a wonky goal. I'm not sure if Brian Tracy would approve of that goal. Yet I recognize that my parents are aging, and I think about how can I show up for them and what can that look like? And, you know, Sess, my dad was just here for 3 weeks, and he tested everything about my goal setting practices. I was like, holy heck, is this me being an awesome daughter? How will I ever possibly keep up with my father? He has more energy than I could ever, ever imagine. And I had a goal of a front yard garden, and you bet your bottom dollar, Frank Corker's in town. And now there's a front lawn garden, and he's out with every machine, and he's met every neighbor, and I am freaking out. I have this upper limit problem that I think that goals are better, like in the fishbowl, just keep them like a little bit below the surface. Can we like contain ourselves just a little bit? One flower bed would be enough. One garden box, like that would be enough. And instead, I'm like 10 yards of soil deep. My entire driveway is covered in mounds. I mean, it's out on the road. I'm about to get a ticket, I'm sure. And there's my father and a shovel, and he just won't stop for 3 weeks. And so the goals of how goals come true, how wishes come true, how things happen, it feels so intentional. And then I'm like, are we ready for it? Are we ready for how big and ginormous this life can be? I thought I would, you know, spend a weekend with my dad and it would be great. And then he came for 3 weeks, and then he didn't stop shoveling for 3 weeks. And that is my father. So that's what I share as, and it's not quite spring yet. And I remember we had this conversation last year, you know, there's a special little mountain here in Squamish that the snow has to melt before we can plant things, because it's a little bit cooler where I am than where you are. You could probably get going. You can plant those seeds.
See, not that's yet what here. I don't know. I'm like, when is it time?
Yes. It's still a little chilly here. We need the last frost is May 7th in Squamish. And I think it's just such a beautiful time when we talk about Mercury in retrograde, and we talk about seeds and the frost and what happens on the other side of the frost. And I also love how we come up with these dates. Like, you have 2 weeks left of a master's degree, and then you will become a thesis writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a few weeks before the last frost, and then we all become gardeners in whichever way you'd like, however you plant, you know, these are really interesting dates. So I shared my upper limit problem about planting a garden. And I'm wondering if there's something that you can share about, you never thought you would write a thesis. And the reality is you're 2 weeks away from writing a thesis. over the course of a 12-month period. How do you coach yourself through this? How do you dance with maybe imposter syndrome and overwhelm? Or I'm not putting those feelings on you. I'm just asking, like, in the spectrum, whatever those spectrum feelings are, how do you dance with that?
Yeah, I can handle a great amount of tension and stress, and always have. And I think how I do it is I go inside and I just take, you know, the moments for myself. It actually happens now in seconds where I can see myself witnessing myself and what it would feel like to be overwhelmed. So when we say thesis in the world, a lot of humans can feel like that's a big deal and put a lot of pressure for it to be perfect. And I think what I've done over the years is know that I am perfect in my way, but it might not be the perfect way for other people. So what has helped me is just to stay a learner. And some people, you know, Ryan Lear, when I drop into his yoga classes, he said, like, you know, you're such a great student. And if I can just stay a great student, meaning listening, coming from nothing, being objective, not bringing in my own bias, letting go of the thoughts in my head, which, you know, is like, who am I to do that? Or I'm not smart enough. That, you know, from a little girl, well, I'm not smart enough. And if I can just let all of that go, turn down the volume on the negativity, stay in an optimistic way, but not naive, understanding it takes work. And every day, if it doesn't feel like the right day to focus on something new, because I have to, I'm a learner, I have to learn it, then I say, it's okay, tomorrow's the day. So I think just staying open and turning down the volume on the pressure that people can put on themselves, that I put on myself, and know that I'll always get it done by the time I say that I'll do it. And it takes a lot of effort.
I really appreciate you sharing that so vulnerably, because I feel like I actually have a front seat to seeing how you work that not everyone may have access to. And it's such a privilege. It's really, really cool to witness, to experience, to see the journey that you go on from start to finish of things. And there is a relentlessness about you that just does not give up. And sometimes I hear you say, oh, I've procrastinated doing this, and you'll never miss a buy when. You just might not have, like, started it as early as you would have wanted. And that's just so cool, Sess. I would love you to share with us, how do you stay so above the line and relentless in going after something? And how do you talk to yourself? What's the volume? What's the channel that you're talking to yourself when you're in procrastination against a buy when? And this is so important, because this is the stuff that will help us unlock this next quarter or these next few months, whether it's 3 or 4 months, depending on how you're listening to this, about our relationship with our goals. Setting powerful goals in January is so great, yet being in action around them and removing the negativity, removing the loud, removing whatever's, you know, we're putting in the way is what makes the magic. And you're really good at that, Sess. That's why I'm asking you.
I love that. I mean, you just dropped so many beautiful things there. I think the undertone of everything is believing that it's possible, even if it's hard. So the first thing with anything is believing that it's actually possible, and then giving some evidence on how that's so. And so for me, I know that there's tons of evidence that people have done it. I'm not the first. I'm not special, and I'm not unique in this. Many people have written a thesis or accomplished a master. So I'm like, got it. Okay. I know it's possible. Okay. Now, how is it possible for me? And then navigating the voices in my head and going, like, with procrastination, I also tune into myself and say, is this the right time? And if I were to do it now, what would the quality of it be? And how forced would it feel versus, like, getting into the flow where I have time? And where I have time, quality is typically there as well. So just understanding, you know, if there's something due or a buy when due, or if you want to run a race and you're not balanced, what happens? You probably get injured. So I just know that there's a kind of a deadline or a hard stop on procrastination before it gets too late, and then you cram the night before or you do something the night before. So there's just a thoughtful timeline for everything. It's kind of like give myself time, and I try not to use the word procrastination. I do use it with you and with people in my circle, I would say, because now that when you're aware that I'm procrastinating, then you hold me to a level of accountability that I may not hold myself to. And then you get to say, when are you going to do that by? And then I have to say it out loud, and then it motivates me. So that's like sharing your goals with people that will support you.
Yeah, I love that. And there are very few words I could probably think of, you know, a handful that are not part of your vernacular. And you're right, procrastination is not one of them. I can probably count the number of times you've said it, yet I have to bring it up because I know you've said it once or twice. And I know it's something that we as humans dance with. And so it's great to know the unlocks for people. Like, how do we help people in this? It's okay to be in it. And what do you do about it? And how do we unlock? So,
and I'll use it when I'm stuck.
Right. Use it when you're stuck. Yeah. So good. I'm hitting the pause button on this sweet episode to tell you about something that you might like. Our newsletter, we call it the Corkboard. It has all things juicy, whether you are looking to keep in touch between episodes or find out more about our coaching, development, or hot new jobs that we're working on. The link is in our show notes. Your inbox is sacred and your time is too. So now let's get back to the episode. You spoke about something else that you might not think is a big deal. It's a big deal for me when I hear it, which is hard work. And I want to bring up hard work because I hear you mention it in the world of parenting. Not that parenting is hard, yet in the conversations that you'll have with your kids about working hard, about how, you know, you need to work hard at school, or in encouraging or inspiring them to do the hard thing. What's the hard thing? And there's a work ethic, and there's a work ethic in you that comes from being young. Yet, what's it like now in the various roles that you play, from dance mom to parent to, you know, support of children's creative endeavors? How do you dance with hard work now? And I'm also curious, how do your kids respond to a mom that wants them to work hard?
Well, I feel like having the kids at the age that they're at, I've seen them in different stages. And so when they're babies, it's hard to pull themselves up from seated. But if, as a parent, I would come in and swoop and lift them, they would never really learn how to pull themselves up. And so that we can, as adults, look at as failure. And so if someone's always there to kind of cushion your failure, do you actually learn the lesson? So, side note, with the other questions that you've been asking, how I am resilient or relentless is that I know that I'm going to have three blocks in my life, three challenges to everything I do. And if I want it badly enough, I let all those challenges come without resistance. And then I go, okay, the fourth time it'll work. So just know that I know the world will put up hard stops for me three times. If I don't want it, I go, got it. I'm going to stop and I'm going to go the other way. If I do want it, I have to push through the fourth. So just side note.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm like, yep, everything crashed. Yeah. Oh, yep. That didn't work either. Okay. Here I go. It's a no for the third time. I'm going to try again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fourth time's a charm.
Fourth time. It could be a fifth for someone. It might need to be a 10th or an 100th, right? So, and then with kids now, buttering toast is hard for them.
Okay.
And as a mom and who I am, I have to choose what they need to struggle with. And it is the little things. They must have some sort of failure to then pick themselves up and succeed. And as a kid, people might do things for you, right? As a baby, you can't hold your head and then you start walking and then, and at what age, and this is the conversation that we're always in, at what age do you stop doing for them where it doesn't feel like you've completely left them on their own island? They still know you love and support them, but they need to start doing for themselves. And so that's the kind of dance of how do you teach resilience in an age where maybe people aren't that resilient these days. Like, who knows? So I am just trying my best. I think that's what I'll say. And I still want to do, and I do need to let them kind of struggle a bit in the things that are safe to struggle in, to go, yes, that is hard. Let's try again. Yes, that is hard. Let's try again. And okay, let them know that however they butter their toast as a metaphor is actually A-okay. And I've just had years at buttering toast.
I love this. It's the perfect seed of, I just need to recap, you know, we're in choice and we're on purpose and we're making ripples and we're doing things we've never done before. And then we uncover that and we get into the how of what is relentless. We get into the how of overcoming procrastination. And what you've just shared is embracing the struggle and to acknowledge where there is struggle, there is growth. Where there is struggle, there is failure. And at the end, we love and support, and we're here for this journey. And I think that is so poignant. That is the spring message, that we can spring forward and really embrace the struggle. And I'm going to take it one step further with you, that we can actually have fun in the struggle. We can have joy, we can have play, because this is it. Like, we'll never have this spring, this moment again. I just need to remind you, in 2024, we thought all the bears were coming out of hibernation in February because it got really warm. And then we had this massive snow dump in March. And then all of a sudden, it's 20 degrees if you're in Canada, and beautiful and sunny. And we're worried about wildfires in April. So if that is not change on wild scales, I think the bears are struggling as much as we are struggling, and they find their way, and we can too. So I really love all of this. I love that you're doing a thesis, a 12-month goal come to life. And I just love how we get to dance. So thank you for showing up and teaching me the words and the experiences that you do, Seth. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Steph.
Oh, hey, before you go, you know, listening to podcasts on this thing called the internet, it's a wild ride. And what would be so helpful on our wild journey is if you would be so kind to jump on and give us a review. 4, maybe even 5 stars. It really helps. Thanks for joining us.